The question was asked, we learned a machloket, Maimonides, and Ran, which is really a machloket from the Gaonic period. Is there any force that the idols actually have, or is it all charlatanism? So you quoted the Medrash in which Avram says to his father, the idol beat up all the other idols, and his father says, you know, that's not true. And that Medrash certainly seems supportive of the Rambam, that even Terach and Avram, who manufactured idols, they knew full well that these idols had no potency. But we have, number one, Rachel steals the truffim from her father. Why did she take them? So one understanding is she took them because she didn't want her father worshipping truffim. But the Medrash says that she took them because the truffim would have given away where they were. And so she took them to ensure that he wouldn't know where they had run. You move on, the Medrash about Egypt. Even the verse says that the Egyptian sorcerers were able to turn their stick into a snake. And here we have different understandings as to how that works. Maimonides writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos that even in his day, there were tricks that people did with sleight of hand, the way magicians do today, to make a stick turn into a snake. And Maimonides says it was all sleight of hand. But the Talmud tells us that we have two terms there in Pharaoh's sorcerers. We have latehim and lahatehim. And the Talmud says there are two different types of sorcery. One is sleight of hand, and the other one is tapping into powers called kishuf. Thirdly, we have within Egypt, you have the story that the Egyptian sorcerers were able to replicate the plagues. And here again, our sages say, when it reached the plague of Kinim, they could not replicate it because the forces which they access have a very hard time dealing with something that is so minuscule. Should I continue? You want more sources? To the idea that there are other forces out there? Saying I gave already three examples, but there are more. We could go on.
But I have a question to those sources, because Bilam was able to tap in the way Hashem works with blessings and curses. And that has nothing to do with idol worshiping, but just he was able to tap into Hashem's system and take those energies and use them for evil.
Perhaps that's what Bilam did, but the verse says, "Velo alach kefam befam likat nechashim," that the third time Bilam did not go in the direction of nechashim, in the direction of sorcery that he had gone earlier. So even though the Talmud and tractate Brachos and tractate Avodah Zarah says what you say, that he was able to tap into a split second, but the verse indicates that he also did nechashim, and the verse in the book of Joshua calls him Bilam bin Beor HaKosim, the sorcerer. So that's why it's a big discussion among our sages. What exactly did Bilam do? Was he a prophet? Was he a sorcerer? Was he a sorcerer, then a prophet to give us the blessings, then turned back to sorcery? Was he a prophet all along, and then when Hashem left him, he turned into a sorcerer? But it certainly sounds like he had a period where he was a sorcerer. The Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin says that Bilam knew how to use the names of different forces, and he was able to get the Midianite army to fly on carpets. Certainly sounds like there are forces out there. Meaning you're asking about the Ran. The simple reading of what our sages say certainly sounds like there are forces out there. On the contrary, the one who's difficult to understand is Maimonides, because we have so many sources among our sages that indicate that there are forces. The Talmud says that Shmuel was on a ship and a witch was standing there and she said her incantation and the ship would not leave the port. The sailors were trying to get to leave the port and they couldn't make it budge. Certainly sounds like there's sorcery. The Talmud says one of the rabbis bought a donkey and he was riding on the donkey. And then it turned out that the donkey was a woman. But through sorcery, they made her look like a donkey. And then they're in the marketplace and everyone's looking at the rabbi riding on a woman. Right? She turned back into a woman. That line in Talmud certainly sounds like there's sorcery out there. That does not sound like sleight of hand. I could give you more sources.
What do we learn from this? What's the takeaway from this?
That's another question, not for now. We had a whole class on demons last week, or 2 weeks ago.
But Hashem created them, right?
That's another question. The commentary on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the fifth chapter, the Mishnah says about the things that were created in twilight. So over there it's quoted, I think Rabbeinu Vadim Bartanura quotes a medrash that Friday afternoon Hashem was creating and the sun set, so to speak, as though Hashem didn't make it, right? The medrash words it in a way that sounds spooky. And so Hashem remained with souls that didn't have bodies, and from them came the demons. So we had a whole class on this. There's a book called Maasei Hashem, a commentary on Torah that goes into what do Chazal mean by that? What does that mean? There were souls left without bodies and those became the demons. So that's a long piece. You're welcome to look it up. It's the Maasei Hashem on the verse in Parshas Haazinu, if I'm not mistaken. The verse that says, Yizbichu la'sheidim lo Eloha. They offer sacrifices to demons that are not godly. Does that mean they have zero force or they're not godly? Well, you have to look at the Midrashim there. Again, the text, the literal reading of the text, is that there are forces out there. The Navi says, Hametzafzefim v'amagim. They make noises. They make noises, our sages say, they give you an indication of what's to come, but they don't really know what they're talking about. They're not so accurate. Metzafzefim, they make noises, but they don't really understand the future. Certainly sounds like there are forces out there. Yes?
Another question about this.